Endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, good morning. Dan here at the American Institute. And our guest this morning is Ben Barrick. And Ben, I'm going to let you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and your background, and then we'll get into what's happening over there in the Middle East and the Near East. Go right ahead.
Hey, Dr. Stan, nice to be with you. Yeah, I'm in the radio business myself, and broadcast down here in the Central Texas area near Fort Hood, and I've been doing that for going on about 7 years now, and do some writing for my blog as well as for some recognized sites to your listeners. Stuff's appeared in Pajamas Media, WorldNet Daily, Big Government, Big Peace, Breitbart sites, and some others.
So. Okay, fine. Well, of course, we've been very concerned about what's going on over the Near East, the Middle East, the demonstrations and seemingly coordinated demonstrations. Of course, they're trying to convince the American people these are just all spontaneous uprisings on the part of the Muslim people concerned over a video that was produced here in the United States, and this has inflamed the Muslim world into taking reactions against our embassies. But is that really true, or is this simply a cover story for something else? And what is going to be the outcome of all of these demonstrations?
Well, it's difficult to say how it's all going to pan out, but to answer your question, this is absolutely not about the film. The film is a tool that is being exploited. It is an excuse, All one has to do is look back at previous attempts, because what this is about is it's about squashing our First Amendment. It is about making criticism of Islam a crime. And all one has to do is look back at previous attempts, whether you had Geert Wilders, the Dutch politician, who was actually charged for saying hateful things about the Quran. He was actually put on trial. Now, he was acquitted, thank goodness, but that coupled with the Muhammad cartoons in Denmark a few years ago, in every instance where this takes place in countries where there's, European countries or Western countries, these riots start in response to criticism of Islam. Well, it's very much like a hostage situation, the hostage dynamic. And I compare it to, if you look at 9/11, the first three flights, the hostages, the passengers were essentially told, do what we say and no one will get hurt. Well, what happened? They were all slaughtered. It wasn't until Flight 93, United 93, when they were told the same thing, but because they had been in contact with others on the ground that said, "Look, they're not going to leave you. That's a lie. You're not going to be okay." That's when they stood up. It's very similar in this respect what we are being told as Americans is that, you know, compromise your First Amendment and nobody will get hurt. The riots will stop. Well, we're getting to the point, Dr. Stan, where this is at the essence, the core of who we are as a people. And if we begin to acquiesce in this one regard, that's pretty much the end of the ball game. We're getting to that point. And so we have to be able to stand up for our First Amendment right, a right of freedom of speech. Now, I've been reading for the last day or so a rather interesting dynamic that's being introduced into this whole thing. There's some very disturbing suspicions about this filmmaker Nakula, which we have found is apparently the guy's real name is Nakula Baseli Nakula, and he apparently used an alias named Sam Basile during the making of this film, and the Associated Press reported on this too, but the Daily Mail reported that the phone number connected with Sam Basile was tied directly to Nakula Baseli Nakula's address. So this Nakula guy who is being identified, self-identified as a Coptic Christian, was using an alias. But where this gets a little dicey is that if you remember in the last day or two, Hillary Clinton almost went out of her way to say the U.S. government had nothing to do with the making of this film. And I find that interesting in light of what's been learned about Nakula. Nakula was arrested back in 2009 for bank fraud. And this I just found this out last night. He was arrested for bank fraud in 2009, and as a consequence of his the terms of his he was actually given parole. The Smoking Gun website has produced court documents that show this Nakula had become a federal informant as a result of his trial and his plea deal. He was originally sentenced to 27 months, 21 months in a federal facility, and then 6 months in a halfway house. That would have put him in some form of incarceration through September of this year, because he was sentenced in 2010. What I find interesting is that he didn't serve hardly any of that. He started serving his sentence in September of 2010, was released into a halfway house a few months later, violated the terms of his parole, and was sent back to the halfway house, and was ultimately released in June of 2011. The production of this film started in August of 2011. Now, if for Hillary Clinton to say that the U.S. government had nothing to do with the making of this film, it's an interesting development to learn that this guy, this filmmaker, had become a federal informant as early as June of 2011, whereby he proceeded to be involved in the making of this film. So did his probation officer, parole officer rather, did he not know what he was up to for an entire year? Hold the thought.
We'll be back here in just a moment at American Speech Network.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
We the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, and Ben Barrick was talking about the fact that the man who created this video had actually been a government informant on probation at the time he was working on the film. Now, what's so interesting is the fact that the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, had made it a point to reiterate that the federal government had nothing to do with the making of this film, which has inflamed the entire Muslim world against America. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we are doing everything we can to inflame the Muslim world. Why would America be doing anything that foolish unintentionally, unless there is another agenda behind what's going on? Why would Hillary Clinton make such a statement, especially when the gentleman who was involved was on federal parole for federal crimes at the time he was making the film, and he was also working as a government informant? Pick up the story there, Ben.
Well, yeah, I find that utterly fascinating. If using the twisted logic that a film is what inflamed the Muslim world, that a filmmaker is responsible, then why can't we use the same logic to say that the federal government inflamed the Muslim world through its own inaction by not keeping enough tabs on this filmmaker? I mean, the entire premise, Dr. Stan, the entire premise that we are to accept that a film causes murder and acts of war perpetrated against the United States, because that's what this was, especially in Benghazi, to assassinate an ambassador, a United States ambassador, is an act of war. But to say that is what caused it, that would be like, say, for example, a championship basketball team, and we've seen this more than one occasion. Say it loses the championship game, and the fans proceed to go out in the streets and riot and loot and cause all kinds of mayhem. That would be like blaming the players for causing the riots. That's how absurd this is. And for us to accept the premise that a film will inflame people halfway around the world, it's an act of intimidation. There's no other reason for it. And you know what's disconcerting also is the where is our patriotism gone? I mean, we have an act of war in Cairo and in Benghazi, and now there are other embassies under attack. But in Cairo, on our most solemn day of the year in many respects, September 11th, they attack us on September 11th by storming our embassy, taking down our flag and putting up an Al-Qaeda flag. That should enrage every American. I mean, where is the outrage that we had on September 11th of 01? I mean, this is maybe different in degree, but not in intent and not in will. I mean, we saw September 11th, too, take place, and there's almost silence except for, you know, those on the right, and I'm sure most of your listeners, who have a sense of patriotism. It's almost like we lost a lot of that at the fall of the Soviet Union, because the enemies of this country have been much more difficult to identify by the American people. And we have a complicit media, a media that seems to be more geared towards doing whatever it can to run interference for the president, who obviously, I mean, if all you have to do is look at all of his foreign policies to say that without question, I don't even know that there's an exception to it, every policy has been pro-Muslim Brotherhood in the Middle East. Now, we have to examine that. You know, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's closest advisor, Huma Abedin, basically her Valerie Jarrett, if you will, has been with her since 1996 in some capacity. Huma Abedin, her family is tied to the Muslim Brotherhood in all kinds of ways. The Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs, which is an organization that was founded by a Saudi prince, Abdullah Omar Nassif, back in 1996, and Huma Abedin served on the editorial board of the IMMA beginning in 1996 and didn't leave until 2008 to take her job with Hillary Clinton at the State Department. Her brother, Huma's brother, served on the board as well, and her mother, Saleha Abedin, who basically started the IMMA with her father, who's now deceased. Saleha Abedin is one of 63 leaders in the Muslim Sisterhood. One of the other 63 leaders is the First Lady of Egypt, Najla Mahmoud. So that puts Huma Abedin, again, Hillary Clinton's closest advisor, and Huma Abedin's mother, a person on who she served on the board at the IMMA with, Huma's mother and the First Lady of Egypt as colleagues. Now, Mohamed Morsi is the leader of Egypt, and the people that are behind the riots in this in the Middle East that started in Cairo are from the Noor Party. The Noor Party, N-O-U-R, is the more radical. I wouldn't say more radical, but much more unmasked version of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Salafists are who make up the Noor Party. Salafists in Islam are, if any of your listeners are familiar with probably the most familiar and well-known cleric in Great Britain. His name is Anjem Chowdhury. He is a Salafist, and he will tell you what their plans are. He will say, we want a Muslim flag flying over the White House. I mean, that's what he will say. And Salafists are like that. They don't believe in mincing words. They believe in telling you exactly what they intend to do. The Muslim Brotherhood, especially in the United States, groups like the Islamic Society of North America, the Muslim Students Association, and several others, they have to be much more stealthy when they do this. But there is a document that was introduced into evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial years ago that showed that the Muslim Brotherhood in America, which included the ISNA and the MSA, their goal is to destroy the United States from within. So you have that dynamic at work here. And over in the Middle East, the two gentlemen that we have been able to determine really spearheaded these riots in Cairo are Salafists. And Salafists, one of them is named Nader Bakr, and the other one is Wissam, W-I-S-A-M, and I can't remember the rest of his name. But Wissam made a YouTube video not too long ago, would have been earlier this month, in which he laid it out, and this is before the riots took place, he laid it out in no uncertain terms that the objectives of the Noor Party and the Salafists is to get international laws passed and laws within countries that are non-Muslim passed that would criticize, that would criminalize criticism of anything Islam. I mean, so this is on a YouTube video. You can watch it. And so that's what led up to these riots. And the other guy, Nader Bakr, is a high-ranking official in the Noor Party, and began to disseminate this information on the Facebook page, on the Noor Party Facebook page, as well as his own page. And what people need to realize is that the whole notion of Al Qaeda is one in which it's part straw man and it's part real. Because Al-Qaeda is essentially Salafist, when you get right down to it. It's like an armed wing of a Salafist strain of Islam. But it has the same goals and objectives that the Muslim Brotherhood does. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood in the Middle East can be a little less stealthy. In fact, it in many ways it has to be. Because it doesn't want to give the Salafists reason to go after them. You have the Noor Party makes up more than 20% of the new Egyptian parliament. So you have Mohamed Morsi, who is Muslim Brotherhood, who doesn't want to tip his hand as much as the Salafists want to do, but he still has to cater to them. I mean, they're a distinct contingency within the parliament. So he's got to juggle that and the objectives of his Muslim Brotherhood through more stealthy means. And that's one of the reasons that we see here in the United States, very soon after these recent 9/11 attacks, we saw leaders of the ISNA, Mohammed Majid, who is the president of the Islamic Society of North America. You had the director of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, Harish Tehreen, in Washington, D.C., and you had the ambassador from Libya to the United States, a guy named Al-Jalai. They teamed up with a Jewish rabbi who is apparently either duped or doesn't understand what's going on, and a Christian pastor that they teamed up with the day after these 9/11 attacks and condemned the attacks. Now, for the Islamic Society of North America president to condemn the attacks, it's more strategic. It has to be because their own documents from that trial state that their goal is to take down the United States. So their objective is to do so much more covertly, and that's what makes the public stance on the part of these individuals after 9/11 suspect. You know, we saw a similar development in the days after 9/11/01, when George W. Bush, 6 days after 9/11, stood with CARE inside the Islamic Center of Washington, D.C. The executive director of CARE, Nihad Awad, stood right behind George Bush, and he extolled the virtues of Islam and the people that were standing behind him. 2 days after 9/11/12, Hillary Clinton presided over an Eid dinner, which celebrates the end of Ramadan in Islam, in the Ben Franklin Room of all places in Washington D.C. Hillary Clinton was there with Al-Jalai, the Libyan ambassador to the United States, and celebrated this Muslim holiday 2 days after we were attacked. We have to, as Americans, really start to look at what is going on here, because this is some nefarious stuff that enemies of this country are working and plotting against us, and evidence suggests that we have been infiltrated. I mean, we have been infiltrated in embassies across the Middle East. I mean, that's what happened in Libya. We had apparently, Hillary Clinton's decision was to not secure that place or not bring Marines in to secure it on or about 9/11. and it was breached, and it was it had been penetrated by people that were sympathetic to our ambassador's killers. So we were penetrated on 9/11/12.
Well, you know, those who say those who are skeptical what's going on,
about the U.S. government being penetrated in general by Muslim Brotherhood forces should take notice of that.
Well, I think, Ben, what we have to analyze is who's funding this whole thing. And, of course, you can go off on the Internet and write down ISI. That is the Pakistani intelligence. ISI funds al-Qaeda, and you'll find that Pakistani intelligence is funding al-Qaeda. Then type in CIA funds ISI. You'll find our own intelligence agencies funding ISI, Pakistani intelligence. It's funding al-Qaeda. Are we creating an enemy because we need an enemy to distract people from what's really going on? Why in the world would the Israelis have recently released 1,027 convicted terrorists to get back one soldier? 400 of the convicted terrorists were murderers, and they released those all to get back one soldier. So much of what's going on today just doesn't make any logical sense. But another agenda. That is, we're creating the best enemy money can buy. We'll be back at this moment with Ben to discuss the very real threat that's out there.
Messiah's Mansion invites you to take a sacred walk through history, where tours of a full-scale model of the ancient Hebrew tabernacle will be on display to the public. Travel back 3,000 years with Moses and the Israelites, learning more about the history of the 2 million people that built the wilderness temple for their God. Experience firsthand what the tabernacle was like and better understand the significance of the tabernacle to the Hebrews described in the Old Testament. Much like the story in Exodus of the traveling Hebrew sanctuary, this full-scale model travels the U.S. coast to coast nearly a dozen times a year. Don't miss your chance to see it when it takes an exclusive stop in Loveland. Admission is free, so bring the whole family. For more information and scheduled exhibits, call 970-481-4266 or visit www.coloradosanctuary.com. Tours run daily from September 8th through September the 16th. Messiah's Mansion is located just north of Johnson's Corners, exit 254 East Frontage Road off of I-25.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Ben is with us. And Ben, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your information?
Yeah, thanks. My website is benbarrack.com, and that's benbarrack.com. And I'd like to encourage them to check out my new book, which they can get on the website. There's a link to it. It's called Unsung Davids, 10 Men Who Battled Goliath Without Glory. And it's about 10 real people who fought a much larger opponent, and they fought the good fight without without fear. They're all fascinating people.
All right, very good. And one more time, the website so people can go to it.
Yeah, it's Ben Barrack, BenBarrack.com.
ACK.com. Okay, fine. Well, you go ahead. You were just saying first that this thing is going on, and certainly there are certainly Muslims are very critical of the United States, but then, of course, we're very critical of the Muslim faith. We don't agree with it, but if they want to be Muslims, that's their business. I think the solution to the problem is to try to reach as many Muslims as we can with Christianity, and, of course, once they become Christians, their attitude towards America, their attitude towards life changes. That's the solution. But, of course, we're not going to convert all the Muslims. And the worst thing, though, we could do would be to get into some sort of a war with the Muslim world, and yet it would almost appear that there's an organized effort to draw us into a war with the Muslim world, as it seems that so many of the nations over there are turning to the Muslim Brotherhood, a violently anti-American organization that's been around since 1928. The only trouble is nobody ever asked who organized the Muslim Brotherhood or why. But you go right ahead, Ben.
The Muslim Brotherhood was organized in 1928 as a direct result of the fall of the Ottoman Empire. Hassan al-Banna is the name of the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt at that time. After the World War I ended, you had the Ottoman Empire, which was an Islamic caliphate. And a caliphate is a boundaryless. There's no national borders. It's an entire region, land, if you will, that's ruled by Sharia law. And everybody, you know, there's no such thing as sovereignty, national sovereignty or states' rights under Sharia law. And so the Muslim Brotherhood's objective, since its inception in 1928, was a 100-year plan to re-implement essentially the equivalent of the Ottoman Empire again, to have it rise again. And that was centered in Turkey. And if you look right now, Turkey is sitting there posing as a moderate country. But again, so much gets overlooked in the Western media, and you know, Western people just don't see a lot of this. And I don't know why, but Turkey has become an Islamist nation almost under the radar since 2002. And even to the point of its military becoming falling under the rule of the Islamists. But you know, you had said something before the break about Israelis, trading. How many was it? 1,000.
1,027 convicted terrorists to get back one soldier just doesn't make sense. Go ahead.
Well, it doesn't, but it does tell us something. It tells us that the Israelis seem to value life much more than those on the other side.
Why would you turn loose 400 convicted terrorists who'd committed murder to get back one soldier? If human life is important, why would you release 400 murderers? That doesn't make sense. So much of what's going on, Ben, doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. But I mean, if you just look on the face of it, if you say that, you know, our one guy is worth more than your, you know, is worth 437 of your guys, yeah, it's completely lopsided, but it also shows that the more value, I think, is placed on life on one side than the other. And we see it in the Islamic world with suicide bombings, and there is no reverence for life on the other side.
Multiple murderers.
Strategically, it may have been the wrong move.
If you value human life, why would you release murderers? Unless maybe you wanted terrorists out there, and certainly you wanted an enemy, And the oldest adage in the world is, if you want to have a war, you got to have an enemy. But go ahead.
Well, it is short-sighted. There's no doubt about that. But you know, when you look at the Middle East, let's look at Saudi Arabia as an example. You have after 9/11 happened, the U.S. government under the Bush administration identified the financiers of Al-Qaeda. One of them was the Rabita Trust. The Rabita Trust was founded by the guy I mentioned earlier, Prince Omar Abdullah Nassif. And the administration, the Treasury Department, identified Rabita as a terrorist, a financier of Al-Qaeda. 1 month after 9/11, they identified it as such. In fact, the head of Rabita Trust at the time was an Al-Qaeda founder. Yet, you don't see in the 9/11 Commission report any mention of the Rabita Trust. You don't see there are multiple entities, financiers of Al-Qaeda, and you don't see any of them. The International Islamic Relief Organization is another one, the IIRO, the Muslim World League. Waleed Shabbat and I did a report, an extensive report on the Saudi Arabian connection to 9/11. And one of the interesting things that happened was in March of 2004, a guy by the name of Abu Zubaydah, as everybody might remember, he was the number three Al-Qaeda terrorist, was captured. And after going through some interrogation and sodium pentothal, he gave up the names of three Saudi princes. And I don't remember the names off the top of my head because they're pretty long. But the three names of the Al-Qaeda, of the Saudi princes that he gave to interrogators, one of which is the name Bin Salman. He's the guy that owned War Emblem, the horse in the Kentucky Derby winner. Bin Salman is one of the Saudi princes that was had flown out of the United States shortly after 9/11 on September 16th. And so the fact that Zubaydah was able to identify this guy and put him on the U.S. map as far as who was involved in 9/11 was interesting. But the other two that he identified, they all three suffered very mysterious deaths in July of that year. That would have been, I'm sorry, I don't know what year I said, but it was 2002 is when he was captured in March. In July of 2002, Bin Salman he died of a heart attack, and he was, probably 40 years old or so.
Hold the thought, Ben. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-5245.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess it's morning, Ben, to kick in. Ben, you go right ahead. This is the last segment of the program. You were talking about the Saudi princes who were funding Al-Qaeda and funding this whole Islamic movement, and suddenly three of them die shortly after the 9/11 attack. Go ahead.
Yeah, they died 4 months after Zubaydah was captured. One of them, Bin Salman, died during routine abdominal surgery of a heart attack. And the day after that, the second prince died in a car accident on his way to the funeral of the first prince. And there's very suspicious circumstances surrounding that. For example, they say he was speeding at a high rate of speed and crashed at an area that's known to have a lot of car accidents. And that when the car was done flipping over, his body was hanging out the car halfway out with his finger in the air, signifying allegiance to Allah. The third prince died about 7 days later. This one was probably the most bizarre, and these were all pulled from Arabic sources. You wouldn't find anything on this in English. And even at that, the Arabic sources were hard to get at. The third prince was apparently in the desert in the summertime with four other people having a picnic, and they went to their car, and as they were driving back to where they came from, the car went into a ditch and was inoperable. So this prince and two of his colleagues began walking for help, couldn't find any help, decided to walk back and died of thirst next to the vehicle. Meanwhile, the two individuals that were in the car had a mobile phone and called for help, which then arrived. So that one goes beyond straining of credulity. But I bring all that up because we had, if you remember, we had after 9/11, George Bush had about a 90% approval rating. I mean, he had enough political capital to do whatever he wanted. And one of the things that we didn't do that I believe, and it's not a matter of Monday morning quarterbacking, I don't think, is go for energy independence right after 9/11. Instead, what we did was we went into Afghanistan, and I don't necessarily disagree with that. But I would say that we did not identify adequately enough the people and the money behind those attacks, and then we go into Iraq, and in hindsight that was probably a disaster. I mean, we've got Christians are under more threat now than they were under Saddam Hussein. And they obviously had nothing to do with 9/11.
Ben, the thing that bothers me is 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi citizens. Why didn't we go to war with Saudi Arabia? And since they had largely financed this whole thing, didn't we go to war with Saudi Arabia instead of Afghanistan? Unless maybe they needed Afghanistan because they wanted to put through a oil pipeline, and the Afghans wouldn't let them. Could there have been other reasons why we went to war with Afghanistan other than the 9/11 attack?
Well, the Taliban and Al Qaeda was, you know, they were being financed by Saudi Arabia, and that's where they were operating from, is in Afghanistan. So, you know, that would make sense at least as an initial response. But you're right, if Saudi Arabia financed, you know, Al Qaeda, we actually, if you look in the 9/11 Commission report, there are two financiers of Al Qaeda, El Haramein and I believe it was WAMI, the World Association of Muslim Youth. They were both identified in the 9/11 Commission report, but only for a short time. They were identified as entities that had been infiltrated by Al Qaeda operatives, almost like they didn't know what was going on with their money. And I think that's the common thread that we're seeing here, is that these people that are financing, these entities that are financing terrorism, they're doing so and then we're being told that they don't really know who's directing the money to terrorism. It just stinks. It stinks to high heaven. And if we would have, after 9/11, if George Bush would have, you know, fine, go ahead and go into Afghanistan and knock out the people, you know, directly responsible for hitting us on that day. But call in your cabinet. I don't understand why this didn't happen. Call in your cabinet, call in your secretaries, call in your Secretary of Energy and say, look, 90% approval rating, let's not forget. Say, look, let's get energy independent. I want it in 2 years. I want restrictions lifted. I want regulations lifted off these oil companies. I want refineries built. I want drilling taking place, and get us up on our own as soon as possible, 2 years. After 2 years goes by, what kind of leverage do we have then with the Saudis? Instead, what we did 2 years later is we go into Iraq, and we didn't do anything for energy independence. Are you familiar with William Murray?
The name is familiar.
Yeah, he is, I forget the organization he's with, but he's a highly respected Christian faith leader. He was in D.C. at the time, shortly after 9/11, and I stumbled across his account of what took place recently. He wrote something like a diary of each day that happened after 9/11, and his contacts and his discussions with senators and congressmen about you know, those attacks and what we should do. And he nailed it. I mean, he nailed what we should have done. And he didn't have access to the information that the inside of the George Bush administration did, the inner circle, if you will, the information that they had. Yet, he was able to piece together what we should have done. I mean, he identified the Saudi princes as being behind it, and the financiers and all of that, but he wasn't listened to. And, you know, I don't know what the motivations are for these decisions, like the ones you said with the Israelis and these totally misguided decisions at the top. I don't know if it's complicity. I don't know if it's intimidation. If it's the path of least resistance. I don't know what it is. But
we're out of time, Ben. We'll talk to you this afternoon. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us today. Bye bye.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. CINN stations in Ault salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, and how do we really understand what's going on in this day? I'd like to suggest that you might find it confuses. What really happened on 9/11? Well, I suggest you get the films by Richard Gage, who heads Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He has two videos, both of which we carry, and both of which will convince you without any shadow of a doubt. That, of course, what happened on that 9/11 is not what we've been told actually happened. The planes obviously hit the buildings, but that isn't what brought them down. They were controlled demolition. If you doubt that, certainly go to my website. You go to the area on videos on the web, and you can actually see Building 7 come down, or you can get this on the Internet. Watch it come down a few times. See how the center of the roof of the building caves in first, and then the base of the building is destroyed, and the building falls as a typical controlled demolition. Building 7 was a controlled demolition. And then relook at the Twin Towers come down. You'll see how the upper stories of the South Tower, there were about 30, 40 stories above where the plane crashed, and they simply vaporize. How do you vaporize those if what we've told is true? And then, of course, the massive amounts of dust that is generated, that's, of course, from the explosions, simply vaporizing the cement. And 1,000 bodies of Americans killed that day have never been found. They were simply vaporized that morning. You don't vaporize bodies in a pancake collapse. They were crushed, but they are not vaporized. So, ladies and gentlemen, nothing we've been told is true. They want to get us into a war with the Muslim world, and that was the first step along the way. And we carry a book called The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game. Going into the background of the formation of the Muslim Brotherhood in 1928, it was organized by British intelligence and then taken over by American intelligence. The best enemy money could buy in preparation for the coming war with the Muslim world. Everything is being done to get us to hate the Muslims and to get the Muslims to hate us, because you can't have a war unless you have hatred. And if you want to understand the prototype of this, you have to get into World War II and who controlled Germany, who financed Germany all during the war, why American corporations, American banks. After all, how do you think Germany was able to develop their armaments so soon after Hitler came to power? Hitler took over a bankrupt nation with essentially no military. 3 years later, he invaded the Rhineland, and 2 years after that, he was at war with Austria, the Sudetenland. And if you go into the background, it was all funded by American corporations and American banks. You need to get the book, America's Nazi Secret. America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, or the other books we carry, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan. That's The Power Elite and Secret Nazi Plan. Excellent little book by our friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy, Charles Higham, Trading for the Enemy. And all during the World War II, when the Nazi U-boats were sinking ships, carrying American soldiers to Europe, why, of course, the submarines were being fueled by Exxon, by Standard Oil, and the Rockefellers. Once again, an example of how we fund the the best enemies our money could buy. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing as it appears to be. We're preparing for war with the Muslim world. We've got to speak out. You've got to get people educated. And then you have to understand the powerful spiritual forces are at work, because the ultimate goal is a one-world government headed by the Antichrist. That's where we're headed. So pray for America. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Our provision and protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity.